Alto saxophonist Lou Donaldson, well, for those who are very cultured, alto saxophonist Lou Donaldson leads his band with Lou's Blues. This is from an album featuring his work from 1957 to 1960. This is Lead Stories. I'm Retrice Lead. Glad to be with you again. Glad that we're all together again today. It is Free Your Mind Friday. What does that mean? I have to explain. Free Your Mind Friday is the day that you, the listener, become the host of your own mini program by expressing your view about something that you think is very important that people know, but also it gives you the chance to put your spin on it, what it is you agree with, if you agree, or what you disagree with, if you disagree. But it is the caller's time to express a point of view. Let me say this for the record. I always have to emphasize this. It does not matter. It is of no consequence, really, whether you think people will agree with you or won't agree with you. It is important, however, that you concentrate on making a cogent point that tells us you've looked into the subject matter, you have read something about it, you have researched something about it, and this is your opinion about it. See, this is what this is all about. What is your opinion? And an opinion isn't something that you just tack on to words saying, I think, or this is my belief. No. You make your case and you state an opinion that suggests you have looked into the matter more than cursorily, but in some detail, you have come away with a point of view that you'd like to share. If people agree, fine. If they disagree, let them air their disagreement in their own way and say, well, this is why I disagree with John or Mary or Peter on their view on such and such. That's not important. That's not the point of this exercise. It is meant to help you improve your presentation skills so that in any environment where you are likely to express a point of view, you know exactly how to do that. And again, it's not important whether people agree or disagree with you. It is important that you present your views cogently and with some degree of authority, and then let the chips fall where they may. All right, so you've gotten all you need to get in the way of explanation of Free Your Mind Friday, and we can now proceed with the program in earnest at 888-874-4888. That's the number you call to get on the air and to let us hear what your thinking is about any subject you choose. You choose your subject. That's also what's different about Free Your Mind Friday. You are the choreographer of your thoughts today. 888-874-4888 from Connecticut. We start with Neil. Hello, Neil. You're on the air.
Hi. Can you hear me all right, Utrice?
Yes, we can.
Okay, good. Going back to the topic of the nation's identity as a Judeo-Christian nation founded on the principles of such, my opinion, which I am prepared to support with several books on the topic, is that this nation in its inception and even to this day is the antithesis, is the total opposite of Judeo-Christian principles. A caller, it might have been Patricia, came sort of brushed close to the truth when she said that this was a guise, the Judeo-Christian principles, which everyone is espousing, is just a guise. And I agree with that, but more specifically, this nation was founded on the principles of Freemasonry, Idris. So Washington, D.C. was designed and architected by Freemasons. The book on that subject is Masonic America, Architects of a Nation by Dr. Vance Penn. That's P like Peter, E double N like Nancy. I'm not going to say there's a Masonic hall in every other town, literally, but if you research that, you're going to find it seems like every third or fourth town, even small towns, have a street named like Mason Road, Mason Street, and have a Masonic hall. Not a church, they're referred to as halls. So the father of our country, George Washington, there's much evidence. There are even portraits. There are several portraits of him dressed in Freemason regalia, Freemason dress. I'm sure at least one of them is hanging in the Smithsonian. So these people who appear to be devout Christians, you know, I think maybe the Puritans have it. They were, like other groups, escaping religious persecution in Europe. So they may be off the hook here. But if you want, I'll rattle off some other titles. But what I'm really getting to here is that this is still to this day. I'm not saying every president, because that would not be accurate, but many of our presidents, going back to the founders, going back to Washington, are members of the Freemasonic Order, which, in my opinion, according to my research, do not worship Christ Jesus or Jehovah or anyone that the Jews or the early Christians up until Emperor Constantine, who made Christianity the official religion of Rome, was a pagan right up until his death. He tried to recant on his deathbed, but why didn't he actually become a Christian sooner? Because he was too fond of raping and killing people.
Okay, you want to wrap it up?
Yeah, I'll wrap it up right there.
Okay. Well, thank you. You've given us an idea of where you're going on the subject, on the question of the nation being founded on Judeo-Christian principles. You put a different spin on it. Let's see how people react. Thank you for your call today. Jean from Maryland, you're on the air. Jean, are you there? Okay, we move on. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrice. That was interesting. Hello. That was interesting, but I couldn't hear the end of what he said. He wasn't close enough to the speaker. So, but I'm not going to talk about that because I think I've been waiting all week to talk about one thing that has really gotten me upset, really so upset that I actually could not sleep the other night. I mean, I stayed awake all the way till 6 o'clock in the morning. It scared me so much. So it's very frightening to me to hear our mayor, who for the most part is like a Gumby doll. I don't give him too much credence on anything. But all of a sudden, he's feeling like a real man getting on the TV telling us that they've been patient, they've been kind, and now that's over. And now you're going to have to start carrying a card, an identification card, And you will not be allowed to go into a gym. You will not be able to allow to go into a restaurant. You will not be allowed to go into a store. And so essentially, they're taking away our freedom here. And it's happening not just here, but I think we're the second state in the United States where this is happening. I think California was the first one. So what is really terrifying to me is that when I look at it, it's happening in tandem with all these other countries, which makes you wonder what is really going on here. This is not about a virus, and this is not about a vaccine anymore. This is about an authoritarian government. This is what I see coming for our future. And I don't just see it happening here in the United States, because I see that in Europe, they're doing the same thing. So in Europe, they're doing it. Here, they're doing it. I think China's already been, you know, locking down people for a while. And it begs the question of what is it that they really want? I think what they might really want, we've heard many years about the New World Order, but I always thought that New World Order was going to be more socialized than this. I didn't think it was going to be a top-down authoritarian government like this. And the thing that's really unsettling for me is how mean people are being and how they're being instructed to be that way, even to your own family members. I mean, I've gotten letters from my sisters that are calling me psychotic and crazy because I don't step right up and let them inject an experimental drug into my body. And, you know, what's also interesting to me is that I listen to a lot of doctors, and I'm trying to send this information over to them so they can see it, that I'm not just, you know, I didn't make this decision based on my political alliance. You know, I think I'm a very radical left-wing Democrat. I don't even think I'm Democrat anymore. I think I'm just left-wing. But it's really frightening that you get, you know, pigeonholed like this, and all of a sudden you're crazy. And it's really, really scary to me to see people like Donna Brazile and Rahm Emanuel on the Sunday talk shows advising people to shame their neighbors, to make them feel bad, to make them feel uncomfortable. We have people on CNN doing this. This is really irresponsible because, you know, it doesn't take a lot for people to use their energy to gang up on others, to bully them, and where things go after that. You know, things can go dramatically wrong from a person sitting on top of their high horse instructing somebody else that they should take a vaccine. It can go to a lot of other places. And I'm really frightened living in the United States now. I'm scared because now there's no way of leaving, but where would you go if you could leave? Because you can't have a passport unless you take that vaccine. I won't be able to go to the gym now anymore. I have to give that up because as of the 16th of this month, we've been instructed that you can't go to your gyms. I just paid for a new membership, so I can't go anymore. I work in retail. I'm not allowed to step foot in a store unless I can show this card. So now I have to scramble to try to find another kind of work. Now, you know, I've been out of work for a year because they fired all of us in March. But I was thinking, like many others, you know, things will start to pick up. You know, Christmas will happen, the holidays, and we'll get work again. But you won't get work unless you take that vaccine. And I can't mention it to people because when I mention it to them, they immediately form some kind of opinion about me, like I'm some kind of lunatic. I said to my sister the other day, I said, you know, you've smoked cigarettes since you were 14 years old. You got bladder cancer from doing it. You are 100 pounds overweight and you eat bags of sugar. But you think that I'm unhealthy because I won't take an experimental vaccine, which the more I hear about, the more troubling it becomes. Every day there is new information. Robert Kennedy has had some really good information out there. Of course, Gary Null is, like, you know, incredible with the information he's giving. And I think his information is credible because he continues to back it up with medical studies and science. So I don't know how on earth, I mean, I look at people who talk about Nazi Germany, never understanding how that could happen. This is how it happened. People are lining up like sheep, you know, go ahead and jab me with that stuff. I don't care.
Do you have an idea or suggestion as to the alternative?
I think the alternative for me is until I know, well, I'm not taking that vaccine because right now it does not look like my good health is something I should throw into the garbage. Okay. So I am not going to take that vaccine, but I am also not stupid. So I know that the Delta variant is coming up strong, and that might have even happened because of all the over-vaccinating we did. It's sort of like when you're taking antibiotics, you know, the more you take of them, the weaker they become and less effective. So at this point, no one should discount that there is a disease out there, and you should be careful. It is an airborne disease, and even if the masks don't work 100%, I still think if you're going to go into a crowded room with a lot of people, you probably should have your mask on, and you should probably try to live most of your life outside and not inside with a lot of other people. I don't think you should take a risk. I'll leave it there, but I hope that we have people today that will also discuss this, because I think between this and global warming, there's nothing else to really talk about right now. These are the big, big things.
All right. Thanks, Gwen, for your contribution today. Very much so. Jean from Maryland, you're back. You're on the air.
Hi, Utrice. I am back. Thanks very much for taking my call.
That's all right.
I wanted to bring up our old friend, President Trump, today. You know, you get after us on the broadcast from time to time about taking the easy way out, or bringing up a topic that is not, you know, well thought through or worthy of airing at a particular time. So I wanted to do something that doesn't get much recognition. So President Trump, and I think we all agree, was a horrible president, the worst of the worst. But I think that it is worthy of pointing out just two things that he tried to do, which are things that needed to be done and were for the good of the people. So number one, President Trump made a very strong effort to end the Korean War. And he went to Korea, North Korea, that is. He made every effort that he could before he ran into significant forces to stop him. And I'm talking about the people at the State Department who wanted to stop him, people that have an interest in continuing the hostility between the U.S. and North Korea. And I think that he, for his own reasons and perhaps the stroking of his own ego and so forth, wanted to do this. But I do believe that it's something that needed to be done, and I'm sad that he was unable to get that completed. The second thing is he made a strong effort to eliminate or reduce the presence of TikTok. And people seem to joke about that and really not look at it as a serious issue. But I'm watching young people and how so many young people are so absorbed by TikTok. And the idea that people, young people in particular, are just foregoing all of the other things that they need to be doing, school, sports, socialization between them, just to take time and use TikTok. And it's my opinion that TikTok is an attack. And we have a generation of young people now who have simply lost their way because they are absorbed by these devices and these apps, and chief among them is TikTok. And Trump tried to stop that.
Okay.
So I'm just pointing these things out because it's always easy to criticize Donald Trump.
Well, it's very easy to criticize Donald Trump. He makes it so easy to do. And when you say these things about, you know, TikTok and ending the Korean War and so forth, are these things new?
Yes, they are.
In what way?
The ending of the Korean War. So the Korean War has been ongoing since the end of 1953. No president prior to Donald Trump made any effort to engage and negotiate a final settlement with North Korea. None. TikTok is fairly new. It's part of this new technology. It's part of this new internet genre of things to do and forms of entertainment that's out there. While it may be similar to other apps and social media tools that are out there, it is a bit different, and its engagement strategy is different, and it is focused on children. So yes, it is different.
Is it any different from rock and roll?
Yes, it is.
In what way?
Rock and roll required a few things. For those people who played rock and roll, it required talent. For those people
not really.
Who
not really. You have a guitar and you have a drummer. You're good. You're good to go.
Well, I disagree with that. I would point you directly to Jimi Hendrix.
Jimi Hendrix, was he actually rock and roll, or was he the pioneer of something new?
Well, I mean, rock and roll, I mean, the term of rock and roll, I mean, you could point to a number of things which are clearly different genres which were labeled as rock and roll. Chubby Checker was rock and roll.
Yeah, Chubby Checker was said to be rock and roll. Jimi Hendrix was not said to be rock and roll.
I might disagree with you on that.
Okay. The point I'm making is that in every generation, you see something else being tried, especially politically. Did you find it odd that one of the chief proponents of the Korean War, you give to Trump the kudos for trying to officially bring it to an end? Does that not sound a bit contradictory to you?
No, because once again, no president prior to Trump even voiced an opinion about the Korean War. End it, don't end it, do something about it, nothing. It has just been a solid wall of an ongoing war footing against North Korea. Period. End.
Well, okay. What you're looking at also is a man who becomes president looking or and hoping and praying that he would take on something simple, like himself, something simple, like let's end this war, which we started.
I don't disagree.
For,
and he did
for kudos and for congratulations, and he thought it was going to be easy.
Yes,
nobody
yes.
in their right mind would have taken that approach. And secondly, if you're going to take that approach, you don't just go out there by yourself and say, well, we, the United States, are going to take this approach. We will solve it. We will bring it to an end. Look what's happening in Afghanistan now. The same attitude. They seem never to learn. There has to be a different approach.
Well, I think you're making my point here. He came with a different approach, but it's the
Which
old standby of the people like Mike Pompeo and the neocon group that put a stop to his efforts. And
well,
I, again,
but
I don't
he chose was, Mike Pompeo. Mike Pompeo was his guy. Mike Pompeo, in fact, was coaching him as to how to go about doing a whole bunch of foreign relations things. He was taking lessons and taking advice from the guy he himself appointed.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that you know, he was taking smart steps necessarily. He wasn't.
Okay.
He was surrounded by a lot of people who were clearly working against him. And there's a lot of reasons for that, namely that he couldn't get along with anybody and people didn't really want to work for him. Nonetheless, I'm simply pointing
them.
Out today.
He chose them. Mike Pompeo didn't just show up and say, I'm your guy. He picked him.
He did. I think there was some encouragement that was coming from some other directions as well, particularly the Senate.
But he is the president, and he had the wherewithal to think a bit more independently and take advice from people who were or who might have been in a position to advise him well. He believed there's nothing he can't do. He knows everything. He knows what to do. He knows how to do it. So,
well, again, I'm not saying that what he was doing, or as president, generally speaking, was great. It wasn't. All I'm doing today is pointing out two things that he tried to do as president that I believe needed to be done, and he was stopped.
Okay, and juxtapose that, the great thing that he did then, juxtapose that with Afghanistan today.
Well, I mean, you can't really lay too much of that on his plate. We've been in Afghanistan for more than 20 years.
He is the president.
Agreed.
He is a president when this whole thing blew up. So where else are you going to put the blame?
Well, I certainly think that President Obama and his 8 years of running around in Afghanistan stands some scrutiny.
Yes.
Prior to him, President Bush ran around in Afghanistan. He stands some scrutiny.
Precisely.
President Clinton
but they,
was over there.
They do not escape. That's the point I'm making. You can't make exceptions and say, well, this one was kind of amenable. This one was not. No, they all made the same mistake.
I'm
in
not
the
trying
name
to let Trump
of
off the book.
U.S. hegemony. That's the problem.
I don't believe that Trump should be let off the hook for any of his foolishness. None.
Okay. We're moving on. Thank you so much for your contribution today. Wayne from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. Happy Friday to you and all the fellow participants.
Thank you. To you, too.
What I wanted to say a little something about the U.S. and this Christian. The first caller, I think, nailed it.
Wait a minute. Is that going to be your topic?
No. I want to share an experience.
Topic. You can't say, I'm going to say a little bit about this, and then I'll move on to my topic. That gives
All
you
right.
two topics.
I just
topics.
Want to thank the first caller for nailing that Christian Masonic. He had it correct. But, I want to share this experience because the last time I called in, it affected the call and I couldn't explain it then. For some time, I've been having this experience where my phone being tapped, computer being hacked. Even right now as I speak, there is this overhead person, right, following me around. Everywhere I go in the apartment, this I thought was just limited to home. The last time I called you, I was on the job. And this following around was transferred to the job. Someone was there. I used to tell myself, well, long ago, look at all our leaders, they've been checked, hacked, followed around, harassed. But, I mean, for all the groups I've been in and the stuff that I do and write, is something that becoming out of hand for me. And since it happened on your show, because I remember that regardless of where I went, I couldn't get a proper call. Everything was static. Now, that was strange because usually when I'm there, I get through the calls very easy. And so this is something to me that is increasing. It is increasing in the light that even like on the social medias where I would write and tell people about, advise them about not taking these injections, they are not vaccines. The FDA and CDC did not call them, approve them as vaccines. When you check the history of the companies, we have all these different stuff that is now coming out, right?
Hey, could you get us to your conclusion about this phenomenon that you're experiencing?
Yes, because like on my part, I know it's happening, and I'm interested in knowing from your callers because your show is open, it's the best. And if anybody else having this experience, anybody being outspoken, activists in their communities, and being harassed in this way, the cops are no help. They say it's not a noise report, so they couldn't look into it. But it's something actually happening. I heard about it, a similar experience on one of the programs on WBAI, and I thank them for it. So it's something real. And
well, have you documented it?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I mean, do you have actual tapes that people could listen to, or videotape or audio tape?
Well, mostly audio with the sounds. And sometimes it sounds funny, but, I mean, you try to sleep in the night and these noises, these ponging noises, tapping become heavy ponging and stuff like that. But it's just harassment. And they seem like nobody in authorities seem to know anything about it. Like I say authorities, because the only one open is the cops. You go to them and when you explain it to them, no. We can't, it's not a problem for us to look into. So if anybody else is experiencing this kind of situation, I'd like to hear about it. Because it, I think just like with the vaccines, we need to get together. We need to be out in the street. We need to be exposing these things that happen to us.
But how do people know that what you're saying is legitimate and true?
Well, this is why I'm asking for people with similar experiences to say it. The record that I have is just about dates and times and stuff that these things occur. Tape it on the phone, tape it on my little tape recorder by, but only when we get together and have these similar stuff that we'll be able to present a case or something positive.
But is there something established, a central number that people could call or somehow establish contact with you?
No. Right now, the only thing that I could say is your show, and I thank you for it. This is why I'm asking people with similar experiences to express it. Then we will know that we have enough to actually move on to something.
Yeah, but you're giving me an assignment.
Oh, yes, I am.
Yeah, but I can't take it on. I don't have the time.
Utrecht, let me tell you, this is the only...
I don't have the time to do what you are hoping that I could do. I don't have the time.
No. It's not like that. I am interested in hearing about folks with similar experiences. I'm sure that we can get together
but that
from that.
If you're involving me, it means you're involving my time.
No. All right.
How would people validate what you are asking them to validate without involving me?
I don't want to say hopefully, but thankfully you are the only outlet we have. The show on BAI that used to feature it is now off, and you're the only outlet we have. The only, as we used to say in BAI, the only left, but that's, it's sad, but this is what is happening now. I can't thank you enough for having this forum and giving people the chance to express themselves, but if anybody else shares similar experiences, I would like to hear about it too. And okay. I know we could do something together.
We could leave it right there. If yes. anybody else is experiencing something like what Wayne has described, then let's hear. Let's hear it.
Yeah. And I have right. nothing but thanks and praises to you for your show. The last time I was telling you about how you treat people, I saw or listened to the show, and the A game came out in full. I mean, I sit down and I'm so happy with what I'm hearing coming from you. I'm saying, wow, wow. Even putting up with some of the real obnoxious callers. thank you. Thank you for being there for all of us.
Okay, Wayne, thank you for calling in and letting us know that this is something you're experiencing currently. We'll see where it goes from here.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Patricia from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice, and good afternoon to the PRN family. I hope all is well.
Thank you, and good afternoon to you, Patricia.
I wanted to follow up on Gwen's comments because I think she is confirming some of my previous comments, and I actually just wanted to follow up on the comments that I made last week about the othering of people who have made a decision not to get the inoculation. This week, a lot of information has come out that among most of the increased cases that we're hearing about now is actually among vaccinated individuals, not unvaccinated individuals. But of course, no one wants to promote that information widely, because to do that would be to run counter to what their long-term agenda is. You know, Gwen asked about what is the agenda, and I maintain that the agenda is not only just a reset in terms of how people live. It's almost this is almost McCarthy 2.0. And what's interesting is that this morning, the House Foreign Affairs Committee released a report talking about, or at least inquiring about, an investigation into the origin of the COVID pandemic. If you begin to put a lot of the pieces together, you know, a little while back, I mentioned about a hearing with Dr. Fauci and Ron Paul out of Kentucky. And Ron Paul grilled Dr. Fauci at length about gain-of-function research. And, of course, they went back and forth with Dr. Fauci telling Ron Paul that he doesn't know what he's talking about and that he's being an alarmist and an extremist and calling him names. And what we're learning from this report, I was just able to glance. It's an 84-page report, and I was just glancing through it. But when you begin to identify some of the individuals involved, you have people like a gentleman by the name of Peter Daszak, who is the CEO of an organization called EcoHealth Alliance. He's really connected philosophically and politically to Dr. Fauci. And what we have learned is that almost $600,000 in taxpayer money has been funded through EcoHealth Alliance, and what EcoHealth Alliance then did was funded that money to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And so when the pandemic initially started, they I don't know if you remember, they attempted to promote the theory that this was not man-made, that this was a bat-to-human transmission.
Yes.
And
yes.
what we're beginning to learn, in fact, that is not true. But the point I'm making is what's scaring me, as Gwen was talking about all of these requirements, and that's going to be in New York because it's not national. You, in New York and Hawaii, those have been the two states that have been the most vocal about making certain that you can only use these passports, that you can't enter into engage, you know, restaurants or go to the movies or theater or enjoy anything of normal living without having been injected. And it's about a reset in terms of authoritarian rule. She's absolutely correct. It's about how you get people to move en masse in terms of a message. And actually, outside of Radio City Music Hall this week, where they had the first concert, there was a group of individuals who were beginning. But, of course, they were booed and of course, called names. But at least I was emboldened to at least see people beginning to fight back. The resistance, as I was talking about earlier, it's beginning. It's small, but, you know, that's how a resistance begins. It begins small.
Does it come within your sphere of consideration that governments see things differently, an organized system of government sees things differently from the way individuals see it? And that is because their responsibilities are different. They're responsible for the health of the entire nation, as opposed to individuals who are responsible for themselves and their families.
You're talking whether the needs of the many outweighs the individual needs of the few. And ordinarily, I would say that, except that there are other options. So, for example, we know that when people get COVID, if you are overweight, that your outlook is poor. I don't hear anybody saying to folks, look, we've talked to you a lot about, you know, keeping yourself healthy. Well, you know, where is that? Where's the campaign that says, look,
lose some weight.
Huh?
I said the order should be lose some weight.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because we know that if you're overweight, you do poorly if you get COVID. When you look at the idea that people would submit their infants and their children, when we know that they respond well. Again, why do that? This is a coordinated worldwide effort. And again, the authoritarian motivation behind this is what is alarming for me. So again, if there were no other options, I would say, okay. But again, when I spoke last week about not even being able to ask the questions, this week, the Times and CNN and a lot of these programs that come on, these news programs, they released a list. They identified a list of individuals and organizations, you know, organizations like the Organic Consumers of America, who talk about regenerative farming, who talk about using food as medicine, who talk about organics. They literally are demonizing them when all they're saying is, look, there are a lot of questions that we have to ask that have not been answered. And to the point where one of the individuals who is someone who provides a lot of nutrition information was forced to remove a lot of his articles from his website. There's something sinister that's going on. And it's difficult to get that information out when, of course, we know the control of information is in the hands of the people who are actually controlling and doing exactly what we don't want them to do.
Good points. Thanks a lot, Patricia, for your contribution today.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
You too. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice.
Good afternoon, Ed.
I know I don't have much time, but I must give kudos to Gwen.
You have more than enough time to say what you got to say.
I must give kudos to Gwen and Patricia. I am part of that small resistance, and there is something nefarious going on. This is my opinion based on research that I have done, reading the works of Dr. Peter Breggin, some of the articles produced by Gary Noel on his website. There's another brother called Dr. Truth. Some of the articles, the scientific articles based on the origin of this virus or this pandemic. And to be totally honest with you, I believe this is an exercise in societal control. I believe people should start to read books like The Great Reset by Klaus Schwab, which was written in 2017, which vaguely mentions a virus and how that could be used, a global pandemic could be used to implement a Great Reset. I believe this is a restructuring of society, and we must be aware, because this vaccine passport, this forced inoculation, this gene therapy is being shoved down our throats, and it's being done in a sinister way, because it's being done on a statewide level and it's being done through the free market. And once that's accepted, it'll be just a hop, skip, and a jump before the state mandates you to have a vaccine passport, to have a genetic identification, to move about. And that's coming. And I'm fighting it.
How are you fighting it?
Well, I've looked into several options. There's a religious exemption on my job specifically. I don't want to go into too much details with that because there are other people that were asking me about that. But there's religious exemptions. There's ethical exemptions. There's medical exemptions that can be taken out. But these things are slowly, if you pay attention, these things are slowly being mitigated out of existence. And like Patricia said, and like Gwen said, we're being ostracized. We're being called nuts. We're being called conspiracy theorists. We're being called wackos. We're being called anti-scientists. Science is not a religion. Science is a study in truth. And you ask questions when you're pursuing science. Well, a long time people believed the world was flat. Galileo said it was round. He got thrown in jail for it. Copernicus, Martin Luther. You question things with science. You come up with a theory and you question and you test that theory. And this is not being allowed to be questioned or tested. Why would I take a vaccine and still get a virus? Why would I wear a mask when there's been no protocol or no qualification for what type of mask to wear? These are questions that are not unusual or insane, and they should be asked. I'm taking a gene therapy shot that's instructing my DNA to do something that it never has done before in human history. I'm not buying it. But be aware, because this is coming down the pipe to force people into this situation. And I don't. And as far as I'm concerned, this is an experiment. It's an experiment in population control. It's an experiment with this inoculation, because I refuse to call it a vaccination. It's an inoculation. It's an experiment with gene therapy, and we don't know the long term effects. And I believe that some people do know the long term effects, and it might even be culling the population for better management and control.
Have you considered that from the point of view of those in charge, their job is to produce results? They can't produce the results that they desire if they allow the opponents any amount of space to make their argument.
Well, first of all, they're not producing the results that they desire. In the beginning, when this whole situation started last year, lockdowns, wearing masks, social distancing, that would cause the curve to flatten. And it didn't immediately. And then when it did, the vaccination comes up. Oh, you got to take the vaccine. Don't worry about a mask. Don't. The information has been, at best, confusing. At worst, manipulative and deceit and devious. And the changing ideas of scientists, the changing ideas of public officials, the fluctuation of the numbers, the simple fact is that You can't even prove if someone really died of COVID, because if they had a heart attack at a certain point in this pandemic, if they had a heart attack, if they had diabetes, if they had some quote-unquote comorbidity, that counted as COVID. So these records are murky, and these numbers are rubbery. Like Benjamin Disraeli said, there are lies, there are the damn lies, and there are statistics. I can take numbers and averages and make them tell a tale that I want them to tell. So we've got to, where's the information coming from? Who's controlling the information? Who's being paid to produce the information? And how is the information being presented? All these things go into account when you're looking at a statistic and an average. You're not looking at hard numbers. Where's the hard data?
Thank you. Thank you for your contribution, Ed. Always giving us something to think about. Thank you.
Thank you.
David from Brooklyn, you're on the air, but you don't have too much time.
I'm going to get right to the point, and I'm getting to the point, and I'm going to answer what I think. You asked the question, well, what changes should be made? And I see it as a very important thing. It's a crime that the authorities that are pushing these vaccines have ignored existing protocols that are available for prophylactic treatment to prevent people from getting sick from this virus, and also being able to take these protocols in the early stages and knocking the virus out and saving hundreds and hundreds of thousands of lives. And all of this is being discouraged. And the authorities are guiding everyone to taking this so-called vaccine. So that's the point I'm making, that this should be attacked in terms of prophylactic treatment and immediate treatment for people who have the virus infected by it. And that would make a fantastic change and save hundreds and hundreds of thousands of lives. That's what I think.
Thank you very much. Thank you. That brings us to the end of our program today. I always wish, especially on Free Your Mind Friday, I always wish that we had more time so that people could actually free their minds of the things that they carry around in their heads all day, all week. It's a great way for them to think out loud and for others to hear what it is they're thinking. So we've come to the end of our week, and on the cusp of a weekend, which gives us presumably some kind of time to ourselves. Use it wisely. Spend time with your family and loved ones and with yourself. I know we never talk about ourselves in the mix of it. We always talk about other people. They're important too. But it's a very important thing to think about yourself. What is it that you're doing? How are you accomplishing what you think you want to accomplish? What you may have to do, changes you may have to make. But above all, how integrated are you with your family and friends, and they with you? Always make time to take it easy, and to surround yourselves with people who bring good things, good dimension into your life. So that's my wish, that you do that for this weekend, to take it easy, appreciate what you have achieved, and, you know, gird yourself for the fight to come. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.